We're not left to our own devices to use the Bible according to our human wisdom. It is the sword of the Spirit of God. He uses it with power as we teach it, preach it, and speak of it in personal conversation. Let us read once more the portion of Ephesians chapter 6, which lists the parts of the Christian armor. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. It is a beautiful statement, isn't it? Now, what comes to your mind as you think of those pieces of the Christian armor? I suggest the idea of protection. There are 7 parts to that armor. Each part protects us from some area of spiritual danger. Let's review them, and I will set out briefly the element of protection that is indicated by specific pieces of this spiritual armor. First, the belt of truth is protection against stumbling. You will remember the long flowing garments worn in ancient Middle Eastern cultures. They looked very cumbersome to us, and they were in the way when one was engaged in strenuous action. So it was the custom for a person to gather up the skirts of his garment and tuck it under the great belt he wore. That would leave the feet and legs free for action, for rapid walking, running, or working. So the truth of Holy Scripture is the belt by which you gird up the loins of your mind. The truth of God as revealed in the Bible will keep you from stumbling as you walk in this world. You will not be led away with the error of the wicked. Instead, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So make the Word of God the great belt which holds all your garments in place. It enables you to serve and keeps you from stumbling. Second, the breastplate of righteousness is your protection against sin. I remind you, the Bible speaks of 3 kinds of righteousness: self-righteousness, imputed righteousness, and imparted righteousness. Self-righteousness is the good we can do of ourselves apart from the aid of the Spirit of God. It is an honest and honorable lifestyle. As respected as it is among men, however, it is not acceptable before God as the basis for forgiveness of sins. Imputed righteousness is the righteousness of God Himself, which is written to the account of the person who trusts Jesus. We are actually made the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ when we receive Him as Lord and Savior. Imparted righteousness is the righteous deeds the Christian does as the life of God is lived through him in this present world. Now, which of these is our protection against sin? It is the imputed righteousness of Jesus which enables the righteous conduct then of the Christian. We who are declared right with God can act according to that relationship, and thus we're protected against the government of sin in daily life. The shoes of the gospel are protection from turmoil. Confident assurance of acceptance before God in Jesus Christ enables one to stand. But more than that, it enables one to stand in peace. Jesus promises, "In me you have peace. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So there are 2 aspects of this gospel of peace. First, forgiveness of sins assures us of peace with God. The hostility is removed. We are in fellowship with Him. And second, the witness of the Spirit gives us the peace of God. When the affairs of life almost overwhelm us, the peace of God that passes all understanding governs our hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. And that is how the Christian can live in peace in a very hostile and disturbed world. The shield of faith is our protection from doubt. So we are to take up the shield of faith by which we can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Those fiery darts indicate the danger of the warfare in which we are engaged. For the wicked will stop at nothing to keep us from serving people in the name of God. Only by the shield of faith can we overcome him. But what does he mean by faith? Well, there is a natural faith by which we trust one another. But there is a spiritual confidence by which we trust God. Our confidence in God is the key to Christian living. The Bible principle is, according to your faith, it will be to you. The helmet of salvation is our protection from destruction. Now, salvation means the state or condition of safety, the freedom from the danger of being overcome. God gives us the assurance of salvation as the anchor of our soul. For knowing that we are in the hands of God the Father and God the Son, sealed as we are by the Holy Spirit, we rejoice in hope of eternal life. And so we who are of the day are sober. We put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. One who has received the salvation of God has no fear of destruction. The sword of the Spirit is our protection against ineffectiveness. Now, what is the sword of the Spirit? It is the Bible, the Word of God. And why is it called the sword of the Spirit? Because the Spirit has given it. The Spirit interprets it. The Spirit directs us in the use of it as we witness for our Lord Jesus. We're not left to our own devices to use the Bible according to our human wisdom. It is the sword of the Spirit of God. He uses it with power as we teach it, preach it, and speak of it in personal conversation. That's why the Bible is said to be alive and powerful and sharper even than a two-edged sword, piercing to the separating of soul and spirit and joint and marrow, that it discerns and evaluates and weighs and judges the thoughts and intents of the heart. Then the ministry of praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit is our protection against division. Notice the Christian warfare is not just praying. It is praying with all prayer and supplication. It is praying in the Spirit. To pray means to have communion with God. To pray with supplication means to present an earnest entreaty before God. To pray in the Spirit means to pray according to the Spirit's promptings and to pray as the Spirit inspires. But there is more. In our Christian warfare, our prayers are to be with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That is to say, intercessory prayer is to be the heartbeat of Christian soldiers. Pray for all the saints, Paul admonished, and include me in your prayers also. Now, why would that great apostle want Christians to pray for him? Because he recognized his need in view of the nature and strength of the spiritual enemy. Here's a warning against carelessness in Christian service. Let every day be bathed with prayer. Let every contact be covered with prayer. Let the Christian live in the vital air of prayer. Now, looking over the Christian armor, can you say you are fighting the good fight of faith? Are you agreeing for God to work in you both to will and do of His good pleasure? Do you know the joy of spiritual victory? Then take up the armor of God and withstand in the evil day. Father, we want to experience the daily victory we know you've given us in Christ, and so we take the armor. Knowing that's the way of victory, we commit our lives to follow you as you lead us by your word and through your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.